Well, I thank the good Lord this morning, don't you? I'm glad He lives. Amen. He's been risen. Been risen for 2,000 years, Brother Johnson. Amen. He's alive this morning. Amen. I do want to say this. I don't think it'd be right. Lord, touch my heart. I do want to say this. I thank God for the week I've had. Me and Brother Hyde had a good time up there in the mountains at meeting with Brother Roger Massey and preaching and singing every night was just outstanding. I mean, God come in and touched it, helped people's heart, and I thank God for doing that. And time of fellowship with our pastor and with Brother Massey and Brother Ken and other men up that way, we got to spend some time this week, and it was just a great help to my heart. And I do thank God for that. And He's so good, Brother Dennis. He's beyond good. I can't even describe Him. Y'all bear with me this morning. I ask you to do pray for me. I'm gonna have to try this week to get back in with the eye doctor. For several days now. I mean, my vision is real cloudy and real blurry. I mean, I even have a hard time reading my Bible. And it's a little discouraging, but I'm gonna do my best this morning. So y'all just pray for me. Amen. Brother Keith, would you pray before I try to preach?
All in heaven, Lord, thank you for this good day. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your help, Lord. I'm thankful, Lord, that you do know our need. Lord, this day is your day, Lord, like every day. It's the day that you have made. You give gifts to us with it. Lord, I pray you would have control, God, of this service, God, be according to your will. I pray you help Brother Dan. I pray you help his eyesight.
Lord, please.
I pray more than that. You help his heart, God. Help his mind, clarity, God.
Yes,
Lord. Oh, Lord, speak to him and through him, Lord, that we might hear the voice of God this morning, God. I pray your presence would be known, God, in this time. And Lord, you just help your man, God, this time. This is your time. This is a specific time, a particular time, Lord, that you have. And Lord, you have your man standing before us, God. I pray you illuminate his mind and his heart. Bring the remembrance, God. Touch his heart, God.
I need
to be God, that and might not even thought of when he stood. But God, it's just been directly fresh from the throne of God this morning. And you speak through him, God. Help our hearts, God. I pray in Jesus' name. Give glory to your good name. And we do and will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I appreciate that, Brother Keith. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I'm not the type of person to do something just because it's Easter or some particular day, but God put this on my heart, and I just want to touch on this scripture this morning. There's three things in this chapter I want to consider this morning. Amen. And it deals with the resurrection of our Lord. Read them first two verses in John chapter 20. It says, "In the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." I noticed throughout this chapter, and I'm not going to read it all. I'll just give you a brief reminder, sort of what this chapter is dealing with. I'm sure it's very familiar to all of us anyway, if we read our Bible, but we find here where it's resurrection morning. And the stone has been rolled away, and the Lord's gone. Amen. He has risen as he has said he would. And Mary Magdalene and others, if you read, really, there's an account in all four Gospels. But I want to touch on John 20 this morning. But throughout that account, the ladies come, and they all look into the tomb, Brother Dennis. And Peter and John come, and they looked into the tomb. And we know it tells us that the angels were sitting in there and had certain things to say, and they looked in there and saw that it was empty, amen. And different things happened on that morning. We know Mary Magdalene, she turned at one point, and I'm going to deal with that here in just a minute, and she saw the Lord, but knew not who he was. She thought he was the gardener, amen. First thing I want to deal with here is from these two verses right here, where they come here, and Mary apparently seems to be very upset. She seems to be confused. It's hard to imagine the emotions that was running through her mind and her heart. And you know, she said, "We know not where they have laid him." And you know, I thought to myself, I wonder who they are. Hey, man, I wonder who she was thinking about. I wonder if she's thinking about the Pharisees. That maybe they'd come and stolen the Lord's body. Hey, amen. You know, and we do know that they did pay off those Roman soldiers that fell asleep. And the Lord got gone and they paid them off and told them to pass the story. Amen, that somebody come and stolen the body while they slept. And they promised they'd take care of it with Pilate so they wouldn't get in trouble. You know, I told Brother Hyde up there this week, we was talking about this passage. I told him, I said, them soldiers there that had been put out there, you know, to guard that tomb. Now, if they fell asleep on duty, amen, unless something happened like that, I mean, they were subject to being executed. Amen. And we do know the Pharisees did concoct this story. But here we've got Mary Magdalene. I mean, we've got one of the women that had served the Lord and followed the Lord with the apostles. For all this time, we have the lady of which he had cast all those demons, Miss Camille, out of. I mean, she had been close to the Lord. And you would think to yourself, was she not paying attention all those times that the Lord spoke of the fact that he would be taken into Jerusalem and he'd be judged, Brother Jonathan, and he'd go and be executed, amen. He'd be killed, and then he'd be put in the grave, and he said, "In the third day I will rise again." And it made me wonder, was she listening? Was she paying attention? Did it just slip her mind? Did it sink into her heart when she heard the Lord say these things? You know, no, she thought somebody had come and stole Jesus. You think about that. We live in a day and a time, you get in a lot of the church world, people act like somebody stole Jesus. Right. Amen. Where is he? Amen. Where are they taking him? Sometimes we look at other folks, says they're Christians, Brother Dennis, in this day and time, and we may ask ourselves that question. Where's Jesus? Where's he at in their mind and heart? Oh, they'll tell you about a Jesus,
yeah. But
it ain't the Jesus of that Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. It's almost like he's dead.
Yeah.
Still dead. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, he didn't rise. Somebody just stole the body. Mm-hmm. Is that the kind of Jesus you serve this morning?
Yes, sir.
Or do you serve a risen Lord that lives?
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. You have to be careful with that thing. He's alive, Brother Keith. He's risen, amen, just like he said he would. He never promised a thing that he did not fulfill. He said, "I will rise the third day." And he did, and nobody stole him. They didn't kill him. He laid down his life. They certainly couldn't steal him. Amen. But a lot of folks nowadays, they act like he's dead. Which, you know, makes me think of the question, these people that claim Jesus, but they don't seem to know who he is, Brother Key. I'd like to ask them the question this morning, why seek you? Seek you the living among the dead.
Yeah.
You'll not find Jesus Christ among the dead. Is that right? He's among his people this morning, who's been redeemed, amen, who's been born again and given life eternal. Is that right? You'll not find him among the dead this morning. Makes me wonder what she was thinking. Where have they laid him? Where have they taken my Lord? Sort of like she had a panicked reaction. She panicked. You ever panicked and just couldn't think? You just couldn't seem to get your thoughts together. Seemed like she had a panicked reaction. You have to be careful of that, Brother Keith. Things come about in life that we don't seem to understand and throws us for a flip. Amen. Catches us off guard, Brother Jonathan. The worst thing we can do is panic. Amen. We'll find the answers in the Word of God, and His promise is sure. Amen. It's amazing to me that they allow themselves to even think that. Now, we know later on in the accounts in these four Gospels, it's mentioned how He appeared to them. And Thomas wasn't there the first time. And he didn't believe. All the rest of them told him, said, oh, He's risen. Thomas said, I'll not believe until I can put my finger and my hand in the wounds. Is that right? Why would you doubt this morning? Why would you doubt? Why would you have a panicked reaction? Amen. Nothing will ever happen in our life, Brother Shank, to what the Lord's not sufficient to take care of it. So why would we panic? Why would we fret? Why would we worry? Amen. It begs the ask this morning, why? Why would you doubt, Brother Keith? His promises are sure. But yet they had a panicked reaction. Is that right? Panicked reaction. Look at verse 14. Not only do we see a panicked reaction, but we see a personal call. Amen. And it says, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom thou seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Amen. Brother Keith, not only do people in this day and time, as they did at the tomb that morning, have a panic reaction, but some see Jesus, or they're in the presence of Him, and they know not who He is. Is that right? The Bible tells us the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because it's foolishness to him. Neither can he know it, because it's spiritually discerned. You realize there's people sits in church services every week, never been born again, Brother Chris. Never been born again. Jesus is in the house. I'm talking about the people of God feels the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ as He's moving across the congregation and working in people's hearts. But yet they sit there and nothing. No consciousness of the presence of God in the place. No understanding of what's going on. Is that right? I was that way one day. Amen. I was raised religious. I got took to a church on Sunday. I was taught the things most kids are taught in Sunday school. I was raised to do right, Brother Donald. Religious. But I wouldn't have realized I was in the presence of God if somebody hit me over the head with a sledgehammer and told me. Is that right? It'll take a personal calling. Is that right? A personal calling. When he said, Mary. And she realized who he was. When he called, Lazarus. He come forth out of that tomb. When he said, Adam, where art thou? Is that right? Personal call. You ever had a personal call? Has God ever called your name? Amen. It's a question this morning for you. Has God ever called your name? A personal call. That's what it'll take. Is that right, Brother Shane?
Yes, sir.
Not until God calls you with a personal call. And then you'll see who He is. You'll see who you are. You'll realize what a dirty, low-down, good-for-nothing sinner you are in the eyes of God, and how desperately you need the Lord Jesus Christ, and how you need to be changed, amen. Salvation is a change, amen. You are changed. You are made a new creature in Christ. Is that right? And if there's never been a change, you've never been saved. It'll take a personal call.
Amen.
When I was a kid and I was out playing and roaming and running all over the neighborhood, and back then parents done this. I don't know if they do it now. If they do, I don't think a lot of kids listen. But they come out there and they holler, and you knew it was time to come home. Is that right? Now, if I heard them holler, Billy, David, Johnny, I ain't paying no attention. But boy, when I heard that familiar voice from the porch holler, Daddy!
Yeah.
I knew it was time to come. Is that right? Thank God there was a day from the portals of heaven I heard Danny being called. God called me to salvation. Amen. Brother Keith, I didn't make a decision. Is that right? I didn't turn over a new leaf. Amen. I didn't decide that I need to get a little religious. Matter of fact, I wasn't even looking for it and didn't want it. But I heard a personal call. Is that right? That overrode my panic reactions that I had had to come forth from me all my life. The confusion went away, Brother Johnson. I began to see and understand. Is that right? Quit questioning things. Just take the Word of God for face value and believe it. Never did that as a lost man, Johnson. Questioned it. Doubted it. Didn't like it. Well, I like a good idea to do this, but I don't like that part. Don't work that way. Amen. I had life. Why did I have life? Because He has life. He called me to life from death. Is that right? Personal call. Personal call. It'll override all that other, all those panic reactions.
That's right.
It'll override that. Amen. But here they were to the tomb, and they didn't understand what was going on. Mary didn't understand, didn't recognize Him until she got a personal call after the panic reaction. Don't you look at verse 7. And this is really what I want to hit on this morning. And it said, and the napkin that was about His head, not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Is that right? You say, what does that mean? That was a prophetic promise, Brother Keith. Is that right? That was a prophetic promise. How do you know that was a prophetic promise? Let me explain something to you. It helps to understand a little bit about the manners and the customs, the culture of the Middle East during the Bible times. Okay? Now, if a man sit down for a meal, he has a servant now. Is that right? He has a servant. Servant's been there fixing his meal, putting it on the table, tending to him. He sit down for a meal. Amen. Is that right? And he'd eat. And he'd eat. And he'd eat. But Keith, he'd have a napkin. I know it's a hanky, but he'd have a napkin. Is that right? Now, if he had to get up and go to outside for a minute, maybe somebody knocking on the door, or maybe, you know, nature was calling, or whatever, And he wasn't through eating yet. He'd wadded that napkin up. And he lay beside the plate. You ever heard tell that? He done that, so the servant come by and looked at the table. He see he wasn't through yet, and he knew he was coming back. He knew he was through, and he wasn't coming back. He was done. He'd wadded up. I think I said that wrong. He was done. He just wadded up and threw it down there. I'm done. They know they clean off the table, going about their business. But if he took that napkin and he folded it and laid it there, that man is coming back.
Yes, sir.
Did you know that?
Yes, sir.
He got up that morning, and he took him grave clothes off from the neck down, Brother Keith, and just throwed them over there. But that napkin that was about his head, he took it and he folded it, and he laid it at the other end. When those apostles stooped down and looked in there, I think it was John and Peter, they saw that, and they understood what that meant. And they remembered. They remembered the promise. He said, I will return. He's risen. He was alive. Just a few days after that, they saw him up there in the upper room. Amen. And oh, how that thrilled their hearts. And he breathed on them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And he walked with them for 40 days, Brother Donald. Is that right? Many witnesses saw him. And then that day come, he left to go back to the Father and said, the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us and them. For you. Amen. And for you, sister. And for you, brother. And for all the dear children of God. And that's where he's at. Is that right? But the napkin's still folded. Amen. Amen. I can imagine that morning, Nathaniel, as it went through their hearts and minds, and they went down there to that tomb, and he was gone. And all kind of things went through their mind. As somebody stole him. Where's he at? What happened? Amen. They were neglecting Brother Shank to remember his promises. Is that right? Amen. Panic reaction. Amen. They did not see the signs right away. Is that right? And now here we are, these 2,000 years later. And for all these years, Brother Shank, the mockers have said, where is he? Things are just like it's always been. They said he's coming back. Where is he?
Yes, sir.
And if you ain't careful, that'll get in your head and that'll get you discouraged. Brother John, if you ain't careful, that'll get you cocky. And Lord help, I certainly wouldn't want to be caught doing something I shouldn't be doing when he comes. Get you in trouble spiritually,
amen.
Brother Shane,
amen.
If we don't remember the promises. But I'll promise you, just as sure as from day one, Brother Keys, when he told them, I'm going to be killed. I came to die. And they didn't hear it. They didn't hear it. He said, I'm going to raise again the third day. And they didn't hear it. Many of them didn't. Many of them just flat didn't believe it. Is that right? Just as sure, Brother Tim, as he made the blind man to see. Just as sure as he raised the dead. Just as sure as he made the dumb speak. And the deaf to hear. Amen. You believe all that?
Amen.
Just as sure as he took those apostles as they walked down the road and explained to them all through the Old Testament scriptures and the Psalms and the prophets concerning himself, all that he would do in his first coming, and showed them how he'd fulfilled that. And they saw and realized it was him. Just as sure as everything he ever said, he's told us, I'm coming. I'm coming again. And he's going to come. Brother Chris, we get tied up a lot of times worrying about what's going on in Washington, D.C., or what's going on in Moscow or China, all this politics and all this war, and oh my, what are we going to do about North Korea? And oh my goodness, what are we going to do about the AIDS epidemic? And my goodness, what are we going to do about all these false prophets? We ain't going to have to fix it, Brother Shane.
Amen. You got that right.
We can't no way.
Amen.
We can stand against it, and we're right. Supposed to.
Right.
We're to stand for what's right, and we're supposed
Amen,
to.
Brother.
But we can't fix what's wrong with this world. But you mark her down, buddy, when he gets here. When he gets here, all things are going to be made right. And he is coming. Amen. That's a prophetic promise. Is that right? And this day, the day that the churches all around the world celebrates his resurrection. Amen. And proclaims, he's alive! You better believe it. He's always been alive. There's never been a time he wasn't alive. There's never been a time he didn't exist, Brother Tim. That right there, just, I can't grasp that. You think about it. Boy, ain't that something? Woo! Man, you know what? I'm going to live as long as he lives.
Yeah.
And he ain't dying. Is that right? Thank God. We serve a living Savior. Amen. So how you know? That book tells me so. Is that right?
Yes.
You say, got another example, Brother Danny? Yeah. I felt him three nights up there at Brother Rogers up there on that mountain this week.
Yeah.
I mean, felt the presence of God in that place. He's here this morning.
Yeah,
amen. And boy, I'm so thankful. Oh, I'm so thankful. Ain't you? Miss Sylvia, you know he didn't have to come do none of that. He didn't have to, he didn't know us nothing. But he did. And everything he's ever done, he done his best. He done his best. Is that right? Man, I'm telling you. We don't serve no dead God this morning. Don't that through your soul? I ain't into serving dead gods. That's what them people carves them things, gets down and bows down to them all around the world, all that other bunch of foolishness. I'm glad I serve a living God this morning. Is he alive in your heart? Is he real? Huh? You ever had a personal call where he rose in your heart? If it hadn't, I certainly wouldn't be ashamed to admit it. And say, oh my goodness, I made a profession back yonder. I can't stand up now after all this time and profess that I'm not really his. Why not? John, you made a profession, didn't you? When it got real and you heard that call, buddy, you didn't care nothing about being ashamed, did you?
No, sir.
Man, hit that altar and started crying out to God, son. Thank God, God birthed him into the family.
Amen.
Is that right? Amen. He's real. What is he to you this morning? Just some old dead God? Just some ritual you go through? Or is he alive? Is he real? He's more real than any of us. Is that right? I don't care what the world says. And you know what, Brother Keith? I don't have to just take one Sunday out of the year to celebrate that. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Thank God. Ain't that right? What does he mean to you this morning? He's risen. He's at the right hand of the Father, Mr. Camille. All them tough times you've faced down through all these years, like we all have. He's right there at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you because he loves you. Is that right? What does he mean to you this morning? What does he mean to you? Amen. Heavenly Father, I want to tell you, Lord, I thank you. Oh, God of heaven, you never owed me anything. But Lord, you and your mercy and kindness, oh God, came to this earth, fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. You walked, you ministered, you preached. God of heaven, you prepared your men to preach after you would leave for the establishment of the church. You went to Calvary. Oh God of heaven, hung on that old cross and suffered and was tortured. That should have been me suffering. That should have been me facing the torture. But God of heaven, you took your dear son and put him on that cross and took what I deserved that I could live. Just as sure as the Son of God rose the third day and lives, I live and I'll always live because of what you've done. I sure thank you for that. Father, thank you for a risen Savior. Thank you, Lord, you've never failed us. Thank you, God of heaven, that you're alive this morning. Lord, and I pray, God, that that thrill, that help, that encourage the hearts of your people in this place this morning. And Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, oh, God of heaven, I pray, Lord, you'd pull back the blinders from their eyes. Lord, I pray, God, they'd hear their name called this morning. Oh, what a great day it'd be to rejoice to see a sinner come home. Oh, God of heaven, have thy will and way. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand. Father, I feel like I'm feeble and it ain't been much, but I pray, God, you've used it and touched somebody's heart and been a help to them. Lord, I pray, God, now for Brother Shank. Lord, in the 11 o'clock hour, Lord, whatever's done, I pray, God, it'd be in your perfect will. It'd be whatever you have for us today. That God of heaven, we might leave this place in a little while after a while, rejoicing in our hearts, thankful, God, for what you've done for us, and be able to say one more time, God's met with us and been good. God of heaven, take control, have thy way in every heart, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.